You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Sports Prep Live.
Sports Prep Live.
Where we unbox the mic and talk excellence in athletics. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Sports Prep Live. I'm your host, Graydon Prescott, and today we have our guest calling in all the way from Iowa. He played basketball at the collegiate level and had himself a very impressive career. Now he's a proud father of three. His oldest played football at Iowa State. The youngest is now at Creighton, and the middle child goes by the name of Caitlin Clark. I'd like to welcome Mr. Brent Clark to the show. It's a pleasure to have you, Brent. Welcome to Sports Prep Live.
Thanks, Gray. It's been a pleasure. Appreciate the ask. And obviously, it's been nice to follow your career as a young boy and now to a teen who's done a great job on the mic for a number of years.
Thank you. We've got plenty to cover here today, so let's get started. For some background information, I've known Mr. Clark since I was about 9 years old, just going to the local high school basketball games. And but it has been quite a while since we last had a real conversation. So my first question is simple. How are things going? Give me a little update. It's been probably 2.5 years now since we last spoke, and I'm sure it's been a very busy couple of years. So how are things? Give me a little update.
Well, things are great. I think you said the right word there when you say busy. It's certainly been an enjoyable time for us, not just obviously following Caitlin's career, but you mentioned our older son, Blake, was a football player at Iowa State, and then our younger son, Colin, played at Dowling Catholic High School here in West Des Moines, Iowa. So as you can imagine, the last 2 or 3 years have been chock full of football, basketball, and even some track and field when you think of Colin.
Yeah. All right. So in the intro, I touched a little bit on your collegiate career, but let's take it back a little bit further. Tell me a little bit about how you were introduced to sports and what sports kind of captured your interest the most from a young age.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I guess from my earliest memories, all I can think of doing is really playing sports. When I think of maybe the first organized sport that I competed in, it would have been, I grew up in a town just south of Des Moines, Iowa, Indianola, and I, in the summers, spent some time running track for the local, Parks and Recreation Association. So when I kind of look back at that, I think, track and field was really important, I think, in helping me learn to run correctly and obviously develop, a lot of elements that were important for the various other sports I ended up playing at a young age, which were, baseball, basketball, flag football, then, of course, track and field. So I think it was really foundational for me, and it's just one element of my childhood that even today I'm kind of thankful for, because I think I was 8 years old and that was really my first organized sport was track and field. So I think learning proper running technique and things of that nature really benefited all the different sports that I played, throughout high school and then into college.
Yeah. So how many, I believe you played, four sports in high school? Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, I grew up in my high school years were kind of the early to mid 80s. So, mm-hmm. Back then there was no such thing as really club sports. So it was very much a defined, year when you think of the various sports that I competed in. Football was in the fall. Obviously, winter was the time for basketball. Spring was track and field. And then something kind of unique for our state is that Iowa plays their baseball, their high school baseball season, really in the summertime, which is I think to this day we might be the only sport, high school sport, where baseball is played in the summer.
Okay. So in your high school years, were there any moments or achievements that really stood out to you that you'd look back on with a little bit of pride?
Well, certainly, I think, you know, the one thing that sticks in my head, you know, growing up in a relatively small city in Iowa, I mean, you were competing really with your best friends. So these are the same friends that I grew up with from really my earliest memories. So we were competing not only against each other from an early age, but eventually we were teammates, you know, at the high school level. And I think the things that I'm most proud of, we won a conference championship in basketball, and we did the same in baseball a couple times as well. So, you know, I know today maybe conference titles aren't quite as special as they once were, but back then that meant a lot, I think, to us, to our school. And, you know, even to this day, it's something that my buddies, you know, from high school still talk about. We obviously have great memories, but we also have a lot of laughs too about just, you know, certain plays, certain moments, you know, over the course of our time in high school.
Yeah, that's awesome. So fast forwarding to college, in college at Simpson, you were a two-sport athlete, basketball and baseball. And in the realm of basketball, you made first team and second team all-conference in your 4 years. So tell me a little bit about that journey, and how did you balance the rigors of playing two time-consuming sports in college?
You know, that was one element of my decision to play at a smaller Division III school, was that it really enabled me to play two sports. You know, as I mentioned earlier, having played four sports in high school, it's really all I knew. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to continue to play two, and really I would say basketball and baseball were probably the two that I liked the most. So I think playing at the smaller college level afforded me that opportunity. You know, you don't probably have the demands that a Division I sport requires. You know, certainly back then it was a little bit different, but I think even more so today, that would be very, very hard to do. So, you know, ironically, I was probably known more as a basketball player in high school, but it sort of flip-flopped actually in college. So where I probably had more recognition as a baseball player throughout the course of my career was actually, I know, all conference, I think all 4 years. So that was sort of a notable switch, you know, in terms of those two sports, and even had some opportunity even at a small college. I was scouted by a number of major league baseball teams. Never went on to play professionally, but, you know, back then that was kind of a unique thing for a small college player.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Sports Prep Live with Graydon Prescott, and I'm on the mic with former two-sport collegiate athlete and now proud father of three, Mr. Brent Clark. So, Brent, like all athletes, I'm sure you faced your fair share of challenges and setbacks during your sports career. Can you share a particularly challenging moment and how you overcame that?
You know, as I think about that question, I think the thing that sticks in my mind relates to my college career and just some of the aches and pains that sort of came along with playing two sports, particularly basketball. You know, I endured some, I would say, kind of foot pain, things of that nature, which, you know, eventually after my college career, I know one element of it was that I had a bone spur and a heel. So, you know, being a small college athlete in the 80s, you really didn't have really much of a training staff. You certainly didn't have a medical staff. So, you know, that was just an element of being an athlete at that level at that time that kind of sticks in my mind. I think if I were at a Division I school back then, I think some of those, I guess, minor injuries would have been diagnosed and treated probably immediately or in the off season. But obviously we just didn't have those type of resources at that time in the mid to late 80s. So I think that's one challenge that I really think about a lot is that, and then even in baseball from time to time, you had a, you know, a sore shoulder from throwing so much. But, you know, I think if we would have some of the resources that certainly I've seen my children have, I think some of those elements probably would have never been as bothersome as they are today, or as bothersome as they were back then.
Yeah. All right, so next question. Like I said a couple of times, you have three kids. Blake played football at Iowa State. Caitlin, pretty good at basketball. She plays at Iowa. And then Colin played basketball and ran track in high school. With all the athletes in your household, was there sort of a sibling rivalry going on, or did they kind of build each other up all the time, or a bit of both?
I'd say probably a bit of both. I don't know if rivalry is probably so much the right word. Obviously there's competition, mm-hmm. at all cases, whether that was Caitlin, you know, trying to compete with Blake and some of his boyfriends in the neighborhood. And then obviously the flip of that, when you think of Colin competing against Caitlin around the house or what have you. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting dynamic now. Certainly Blake and Colin are great supporters of Caitlin, and I think they have a very caring and loving relationship to each other. But they're also, you know, they can be her biggest fans, but I think they can also be a good voice to her, you know, probably two people that will give it to her straight, so to speak, which I think we all need from time to time. But there's no question, I think, just growing up, and, you know, I know you, Gray, have your younger brother, Penn. I think there's always going to be, you know, an element of competition between siblings.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's part of growing up. I had the same relationship with my younger brother. You know, you're always competitive with each other, but you're still family. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of it, you know, really helps maybe enhance who you are when you grow up. And I think that's just a part of molding, you know, certainly Caitlin into the type of competitor and player that she is today. And I would say the same about our two sons, is that, you know, that competitive nature, even though they're all different in their unique ways, that does get molded quite a bit, not only within a family, but also with your friends, you know, as you grow up.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And Penn and I to this day can't stand each other when we play basketball. But yeah, that's absolutely. I read a story that Caitlin and Colin played one-on-one against each other, and Colin ended up having to get four staples in his head. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, we had a little, I would call it a kind of a mini basketball hoop, but it was a standalone hoop. It may have been a Nerf or an and one type of hoop, but it would probably be 6-7 feet tall. That was always in our basement, and certainly maybe one of the best investments we ever made in terms of keeping our children busy in their younger years. But yeah, that did occur. I think Caitlin got a little aggressive, pushed Colin into the sort of the side of a wall, which, as you can imagine, is kind of has a sharp edge to it. And it cut his head open, and I think he required four or five staples. But, you know, I guess speaks a little bit to the competitive nature of both
absolutely.
Of them. But I don't know the dynamics that led to that, but I can only imagine.
That's awesome. All right, so Caitlin, of course, has taken the basketball world by storm. We all know, breaking the NCAA scoring record, winning National Player of the Year award, hitting threes from 35 feet. But where did that all begin? When did you begin to see that she was going to be special in basketball, and how did her journey begin?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, it's a question that I get asked, you know, on occasion from parents who have young children. And I think, you know, I would say with respect to Caitlin, she was always very gifted in any sport that she took on. So, you know, I think her first organized sport was youth soccer. And of course it was co-ed basketball, and then she did softball and even did some tennis lessons, did piano for a short time. So, you know, our approach as parents was really just to give not just Caitlin, but our sons exposure to, you know, the whole sports world, so to speak. We both, obviously my wife and I both played sports, and, you know, I think that that's a strong element of any child's, you know, youth. So going back to Caitlin, I think just, you know, in any sport that she played, I'll use basketball, but I even knew at a young age, probably 5 or 6, that she certainly had a kind of a unique ability, almost innate, you know, in terms of ball handling, in terms of shooting the ball.
Yeah.
I know our first co-ed experience was just like a little YMCA league that may have been 6 games in the winter. You know, it was just not challenging to her. The hoop was maybe at 6 or 7 feet, and, you know, she'd just dribble down, pull up from the free throw line and make baskets. So really at that time, you know, it was just like, well, I need to get her into something that's a little more competitive maybe, but mm-hmm. just would challenge her a bit more. So obviously at that time there weren't any girls teams, so to speak. So there were just a handful of boys teams. So we were fortunate to form a, you know, a team that included Caitlin. So she really played the co-ed route all the way through fourth grade, and then eventually transitioned at fifth grade to playing with girls exclusively. And, you know, and here we are today.
Yeah. It's Graydon Prescott here on Sports Prep Live, and I'm talking to Brent Clark, former college basketball and baseball player and the father of NCAA basketball's living legend, Caitlin Clark. So you've been with Caitlin every step of the way from the time she was wee tall to the up until now she's tearing it up in college. So can you tell me how much time you guys spent training, and what were the things that you worked on to separate Caitlin from the rest of the girls playing basketball?
You know, I'm glad you bring that up. I think I'll go back to just the point I made. I think, you know, it wasn't a situation where, you know, Caitlin wanted to be trained exclusively in basketball at a young age. That's, you know, I think from my personal opinion is, I think exposure and then playing a variety of sports really helps the athlete when it comes to the other sport that they may be doing or the other sports they may be doing. So, you know, Caitlin sort of made a conscious decision in fifth grade that said, you know, she said, hey, I don't want to continue playing softball. I'd like to focus and do more basketball in the summertime. And that's when we started that transition to the club environment. You know, she clearly had a great love for basketball, and I would say soccer was her second sport, and she did that all the way through her sophomore year in high school. But basketball has always been her first love. I think moving her to her club team, which is part of the Nike EYBL circuit, All Iowa Attack, was a natural for us. We had a couple nieces, Haley and Audrey Faber, who had been in the program or were in the program at that time. And so we had a good, feeling about it. We knew the circuit and the competition level was going to be the highest, you know, at the national level. So obviously Caitlin, you know, grew up in that program. And I think that's certainly a big part of her development when you're competing against some of the best players in your state at practice. And then of course you're competing against the best players in the country, you know, when you go to these various national tournaments. And really an element that I think just enabled her to really grow and I would say maybe even evolve her game year to year. She was always playing up 2 or 3 grade levels. So certainly that was a challenge for her, but it was one that she always met. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. She was actually on their top national team before her first day of high school. So wow. I think that just speaks to, you know, her capabilities, her skill level, you know, she was playing with girls that were essentially seniors in high school when she was becoming a freshman in high school. So mm-hmm. I think that's prepared her well, you know, when she took that step from high school into college as a freshman, you know, she sort of hit the ground running with her first game.
Yeah.
And, I would hope that will be the case when she steps to the next level and the top level, which is the WNBA.
Yeah. I remember watching that first game. She had a great game in college. So you spoke a lot about EYBL, and during that time frame, Caitlin was playing in the FIBA Basketball World Cup. She was playing in EYBL, and then also this was around the same time that she made her decision for college. So with all of that going on in a very short amount of time, what was that like? What was that process like, and what do you recall the most from that time?
I would say it was just part of her journey. I mean, certainly it was a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about some of the commitments you have to make to try out for a USA basketball team, you know, that involves, you know, missing some school. I know early on in that process, she was also missing some of her high school soccer matches. You know, but that's certainly a great honor. And the fact that she's, you know, earned or been part of teams that have won 3, you know, gold medals is certainly a special memory. I know for us as parents and a family, and obviously for her as a player, you know, the EYBL league certainly prepares anyone, you know, for the best level of competition. And it's probably fair to say that, you know, basketball in the United States is the best in the world. So, you know, you could probably have, in some cases, sometimes a more competitive tournament, you know, by probably breaking the country up into regions and just, you know, having your own sort of national tournament. That certainly would provide any athlete with great competition and the ability to sort of up their game. So I think those two really went hand in hand. And when you think of her club level team being on the EYBL circuit, and then obviously that prepared her well for USA basketball. And, you know, I don't think Caitlin would change it for the world. It's been, you know, great experiences. She's developed a huge network of, you know, teammates who have become her friends, you know, competitors who have become her friends. And obviously she's met a lot of important coaches and other personnel, you know, kind of along the way that, you know, that she can kind of, you know, rely upon going forward as well.
Mm-hmm. So also your son, Blake, he had a pretty successful college football career. But in his time as a player, I noticed that a lot of his peers would seek his advice, and he kind of took up a coaching role on the team. So is there a future in coaching football for Blake, or is that something that he just did during his time in college?
No, I thought that, I mean, he would be a great coach, you know. In some respects, obviously he was, you know, a backup quarterback at Iowa State, and then he was the holder for his final 4 seasons there. But I think, you know, one thing about him is that he has a great presence about him. He's a great leader. And I think he's a strong voice. I think anytime you have 100+ teammates, you know, I'm sure coaches are looking to players who can lead. And I think the coaching staff, I know he has a great relationship with the head coach, Matt Campbell. That continues to this day. But, and I think for Blake, I think he's very proud of that he spent 5 years in the Iowa State program. But I think he's also, you know, someone who's very curious and really intelligent. He's got a master's in industrial engineering and works for Chevron, which is a large global oil and petroleum company. So mm-hmm. seems to enjoy, you know, that challenge, and he's transitioned really to the professional world quite well. And You know, I've always thought he'd be a good coach. I don't know. You know, maybe someday he'll be a youth coach like his dad. But right now I think he's just enjoying the challenge of being a professional business person.
Yeah. It's Graydon Prescott here on Sports Prep Live, and I'm on the mic with Mr. Brent Clark, former collegiate basketball and baseball player, father of three, and the father of NCAA basketball's greatest player, Caitlin Clark. So as we wind down this interview here, we know that what Caitlin has accomplished in her college career, I mean, national championship appearance, Naismith Player of the Year, AP Player of the Year, ESPN Player of the Year. She's won every award in the book. Now going into her final NCAA tournament, as a parent, did you expect all of this, or did you expect her to succeed at this level that nobody has ever reached before, or did it kind of catch you by surprise?
Well, I think it would be, certainly it's been humbling. I mean, when you think of all the recognitions that she's earned, not just as really, not even for just the sport of basketball, but, you know, maybe as a, you know, the athlete of the year and even an academic team leader of the year. I mean, those are, you know, elements that I don't think you think about. You know, I think Caitlin certainly puts in the work. She works hard. I think that is just a reflection of all the hard work that she puts in. You know, am I surprised? You know, in a humble sense, I say this, I'll have to say no, simply because I know she works hard. I mean, there are times when I think she should take time off, and she does not. So she certainly has the motivation and maybe more importantly, the love and passion for what she does, like no other, probably like no other person that I'm around on a day-to-day or close basis. So, so very proud of her, certainly. I mean, obviously, if anyone watched the Big Ten championship game, and she had obviously a difficult first half, but I told her after the game, that might've been one of my more prouder moments of her, because she fought through that adversity. You know, she was struggling, you know, making shots, and then comes back and puts 30 on the board in the second half. And it's obviously a component to certainly winning that game in overtime. So, you know, I think she's just the type of person that's always been very consistent, very driven. And I think her passion is just that other ingredient that you need to be, such a good player.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, finally, Brent, last question here. For any young, aspiring athlete looking to make it into college, what is one piece of advice you would give to those youngsters?
Probably say do the work, right? I think, ignore your critics if you have any, or and really sometimes that critic can be your own mind, right? If you don't believe that you can achieve something, you probably won't. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of stories where, you know, I think people have persevered. And I think that's really probably what sets the good apart from the great. You know, don't be afraid to fail. I just had my father-in-law, you know, speak to that a little bit. He said, you know what fail actually means, right? And I said, well, not really, but it's really the first attempt in learning. So F-A-I-L, first attempt in learning. So I thought that made a lot of sense. And I think one thing that's, you know, we all should be unafraid of is to fail. You know, I think one thing that when you think of Caitlin, I think she is willing to always take the shot. She's not always going to make the shot, but she's willing to take the shot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's a lot of people out there who are willing to put their neck out like that. So that's a unique trait, a unique sense of confidence that we really all should have, because there's nothing wrong with failing. You only get better from doing it. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, Brent, for coming on to the show. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of Sports Prep Live. We'll catch you on the next one. And as always, everybody, have a great day. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Sports Prep Live. I'm Graydon Prescott. And don't forget to catch all of our episodes on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Instagram or Twitter at SportsRepLatta. Thank you.